Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs here. He helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we got four lines lined up here, so we're all jammed up. We do appreciate you giving us a ring this Saturday morning, and we will do our best to get to all your calls. So let's go right to those, and Ron in Farmington has been on the line the longest. What's going on, Ron? Ron, you there? Uh-oh. Ron's been on too long, maybe. Ron going once?
Hello.
Hey, there you are. You almost lost you. What's going on, sir?
Okay, I'm glad you did. Thanks.
Yeah.
I have a couple of quick questions, and I'm really a computer novice, so
okay.
Bear with me.
Sure.
A while back, you guys were talking about getting a safer, more dependable, secure email address.
Yes.
Instead of like a Yahoo or Hotmail address.
Yes, sir.
And what I'm wondering is, can you give me, who you recommend for getting something like that? And that would be something that I would have to pay for on a, whatever, an annual basis or 6-month basis or something?
Correct. The email that I've been recommending for quite some time is Proton Mail.
Proton?
Yep, Proton Mail. We'll put a link out there over at Computer Talk for you.
Okay.
And it's a company that is partnered. They're out in Switzerland, and they partner with MIT. And I do actually think they have a free box that you can get. But that would be a much more secure.
Free when it came to emails.
Correct, because the thing about anything free, if it's free, they can just turn it off, right?
Right.
Just like your Hotmail, your Gmail can go away. And what are you going to do? Complain about your email going away, your free box? And so much of our lives are connected to these email boxes that you really should consider a secure one that's going to protect your data. And Proton is an encrypted mail service. So along with being more secure, it's encrypted. So the messages back and forth are more secure on top of that. So you can also get your own domain through them. So you could be, Ron at your last name, if your last name's available. Would be kind of interesting, too.
Okay. And about how much does that cost?
Oh, gosh, don't hold me to it. I want to say probably $25 a year, if I had to think. I don't think it's that much.
And that's if you get your own email address?
I'm sure it's separate cost for that. But you would get a Proton. You'd be at Proton for most normal mailboxes, but if you want to get your own domain, you can get it through them too.
Okay, so that's going to be a little more than $25.
I think so, and don't hold me to it. I haven't looked at it recently.
Okay, number two.
Yep.
When I'm online and I have 3 or 4 websites open,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to walk away from the computer for an hour or so, whatever. I log out of all the sites that I'm on.
Sure.
And now I go back to get back on, say, half hour later or a couple hours later.
Mm-hmm.
I click on the icon for Google Chrome.
Yeah.
And what happens is that little circle signal that shows up that you've clicked on the icon shows mm-hmm. up and it's spinning.
Yeah.
And if it stays on for a little bit, I know it's connecting me. But what will happen is it'll only stay on for like a second or two. And go right off, and then I know that I am unable to get online.
Okay.
So what I'm wondering is, I'm wondering why that is exactly, and also I'm wondering if I was to leave one of the sites open, and then, you know, just go into the header where I change the particular website that I want to go on.
Yeah.
Is that a way around that, or no?
No, what I think is happening to you is your computer is going into a sleep mode, and I think literally your network card is going to sleep. So when you touch it again and you start getting on your machine, the machine is too slow to wake up the network card, and that's why you're not online anymore. So
okay.
Go to your power settings and tell your system to not do that, not to go into sleep mode. You can even customize your power settings to choose specific aspects of your computer that you want to turn off or turn on when people don't even realize their hard drives are spinning down, their network cards are spinning down, and then you go ahead to try to wake it up, and it just takes a little while to wake it up. But it has nothing to do with whether you're online on the browser or not. If your machine's going to go to sleep, it's going to go to sleep. So I would tell you to test this theory is to turn off your power settings, right? Tell it to never go to sleep. Walk away and go back and then double-click on it, and I bet you you'll be able to connect.
Okay, one last quick question.
Yeah.
The computer is noisy as hell, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it's all fan noise. That's what it sounds like.
Right.
Not all the time, but a lot more of the time than you would hope for.
Sure.
You know, is there something I can do to cure that?
Is it a laptop or a desktop?
Desktop. It's a Dell that's probably 12, 15 years old, maybe even.
Wow.
Well, two things. Try to get it by committee to get a new one.
Yeah, get
but
it through
what you
committee.
Can do in the short term, if you can open the box up, get a can of canned air, and blow the fans out.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
The odds are that the dust in there is so thick that that thing is struggling to try to cool itself off.
Right.
Okay. So while it's running, compressed air.
Not while it's running. No. Don't need it while
it's running. Not while it's running?
Yeah, no. Unplug it. Turn it off.
You might want to gently use a... small vacuum cleaner, not a household one, but something small. It depends on how much dirt
how much
is
dust
in there.
Because
I've seen it where it's like the whole thing was packed with dust. So I don't know. It just depends on how much you see.
Yeah, okay, and a 12-year-old computer, by the way, a 12-year-old machine doesn't have a lot of processing power. But you're using today's browsers and today's requests. So the machine is having to work really hard with what little it has from 12 years ago. So just imagine you bought a car 12 years ago, and now you want to tow a camper behind it, but you only bought a 3-cylinder engine.
Okay, but it's very noisy, even if we're not using it. Even if if we leave it on overnight in the morning, we're not logged into anything or anything.
It also could be that the fan is wearing out and getting ready to fail too.
Yeah, the bearings on it. If it's making like a bearing noise, the fan could easily be replaced cheaply. But again, a 12-year-old computer, don't spend too much money on it.
Okay, I'll try cleaning that and see what happens. Oh, when you said open the box, what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, there's a case around the machine where you can actually take a few screws off and open it up.
Oh, you're talking about taking the actual cover or cabinet off it.
Exactly. That's why you want to do it with it unplugged, not running.
Okay.
And then you can see all the dust, and of course, you know, the heat sink could be completely caked in dust.
Or you could have a fan getting ready to fail, and that wouldn't be a good thing. And sometimes there are multiple fans, and one may be seized.
Right.
You know, if you can't spin it and have it keep going, if it, like, won't spin beyond, you know, what you're moving it,
right,
then, you know, it's getting ready to fail.
It's a bearing issue. All right?
All right, very good. Thanks a lot.
All right, Ron, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's try to get another call in here. We're going to go to, is Joyce still there in Weathersfield? Hey, Joyce.
I am.
What's going on?
Well, I'm a senior citizen, and due to the coronavirus and being isolated, I'm looking to sign up for either an iPhone or an iPad to do my grocery shopping, because the grocery stores do not take orders over the phone. You have to do it on the computer.
Yep.
With an app. Right now, because all I have is a flip cell phone.
Yep.
And I was advised, I do not have the internet. Now,
oh,
I was advised I could get an iPad with a SIM card without the internet. It didn't sound right to me.
Well, a SIM card is cellular internet, so it is correct. You're going to be paying for cellular internet from either Verizon or AT&T or wherever you're going to buy that from. So that's what a SIM card is.
Oh, so I don't need the internet to get an iPad?
If it comes with a SIM card, you do need the internet to get to anything. It's just how you're going to get to the internet is your question. So the iPad, if it comes with a SIM card, it's including the ability to use cellular internet, like Verizon Cellular, AT&T, T-Mobile. So what they're saying is you don't need to connect to Cox or Comcast. You can just use a cellular connection with your iPad if you choose to go that route.
Okay, but I do have to have internet access.
And the SIM card would give you that with a fee.
Oh, the SIM card would give me that.
With a fee through whatever service you choose that the SIM card supports. So generally, if you buy these devices through Verizon or AT&T, they'll offer their service. So you're going to have a monthly cost no matter what.
Right. Right. I knew there was a monthly cost. Now, I don't pay. Do I pay for the iPad too? In addition to the monthly cost?
Well, they probably would frown on you just walking out with it. Yeah.
No, wait, cause, I mean, what I have, like, I have a cell phone that I pay these fees. Oh, so you buy the iPad, and you pay that cell. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is, right now I haven't been to the store. That's why I want to get one of these iPhones.
Yeah.
So in other words, I have to go to the store to purchase this anyway. So they would tell me about it.
They would. Yeah. And you can also consider an Android solution too. But if you have more help in your family with Apple, that's fine. Go get an iPad.
I could also get Android.
Yep. It might be a lot cheaper too.
You would suggest that over an Apple?
Only for cost reasons.
Oh, okay.
The iPads can be pretty pricey.
Okay, so if I'm going to go to the store to purchase it, I'm trying to avoid going out to the store. That's why I wanted the iPhone to do my grocery shopping. But
yeah.
I'm still going to have to go to the store to purchase this thing, this phone or this iPad, obviously.
I think you are, unless you have somebody in your family that can do it for you.
Okay, so I have to, because I have service right now with AT&T with a cell phone.
Yep.
Okay.
So, go ahead, Bob.
Do you have internet in your house?
I did have internet, but it's shut off.
Oh, okay. So you don't have it.
Right now I don't have it. Now, if I was to have it reconnected, how much would that be involved as far as them coming through the house? Do they have to go in and, because I got the internet coming into the house, but it's not on.
Right. Do you have the devices still?
I just purchased the Chromebook.
Oh my gosh!
Not too long ago.
You're halfway there. So if they turn on the internet back on your house, they may have to come in and connect a modem, and then you go run the Chromebook and you'll be okay.
Oh, so it's just a matter of them coming in to connect the modem.
Correct.
Okay, so it's not like I'm going to have so much access with people into the house.
I don't think so. I'm sure they all have COVID protocols for you to make you feel better.
Okay, that's my concern.
I can tell. Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay. You helped me very much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Joyce. Good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. We're going to sip out for a quick break. We got a couple lines open for you. Actually, one line open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We are here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. He won't be broadcasting from our hermetically sealed studios here in East Hartford, but he'll be from an undisclosed location, I'm sure, himself. And then, of course, Len and Lisa will come in on at 12 o'clock and do a show as well for you for Garden Talk. So stick around here at WTIC, and let's get back to your calls. We're going to go to Enfield next, and Nick. What's going on, Nick?
Thank you for the show you have.
Our pleasure.
I've had an HP for 11 years with an AMD processor.
Yeah.
It's time to renew it, get a new one. And when I'm shopping, I'm looking at i5, i7, i9 for Intel, and then AMD processors have a bunch of numbers. And I'm also seeing different generations.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it, but do you have any recommendations, Intel or AMD?
So we've unfairly have a bias toward Intel, only because we don't touch AMD in our daily lives. So they do have great processors and great following. So I'm not going to say you couldn't use an AMD, and your example of a 12-year usage is obviously there. So you could consider the AMD. But I don't have a lot of information there for you. So I would tell you to use resources like CNET, to actually compare processors between the Intel and the AMD as far as performance goes.
Is that the letter CNET?
Yep, CNET would have plenty of comparisons out there for you to, or even Tom's Hardware. There's a good site out there called Tom's Hardware that could do some comparisons for you.
Thank you.
But when it comes to looking at Intel processors, i5 would be a minimum, and the latest generation you can find is always best. So right now, the 9th and 10th gen processors are out. If you're finding 6th gen and 7th gen and older processors, you know they're going to be cheaper, and they're going to do fine. But you're not going to be able to leverage the new technologies in the newer processors. And you want this next machine to give you another decade of service, right?
Yes.
So don't go cheap. You know, maybe angle on the i5, i7 maybe.
Yes.
That way you have a nice forward, future-proof system. But I really couldn't tell you which AMD would be in comparison to the Intel lines, only because we don't use them. Not that that they're bad. It's just we don't use them.
I'm also seeing some units that have a combination of solid state and then disk.
Yes.
Does that interaction seem to be smooth within the unit?
Oh, to have both?
Yes.
Yes, it's fine. So you would use your solid state as your boot disk, maybe a 500 gig minimum, either an SSD drive style or a M.2. It almost looks like a memory stick, believe it or not. It doesn't even look like a hard drive. And then the spinny drive, as we are calling them these days, versus the solid state, the little spinny drive would just be like a scratch drive where you have your data. You know, you can put data that is not really something you care to have that high performance on. And that works fine. They work fine together. It all depends on what you're doing, though. So if you want to do video editing or do anything with pictures, you would want to move your data from the spinny drive over to the solid state to perform your renderings or your edits or whatever you're doing. It'll be much faster.
Will that be a deliberate thing that I'm doing?
It would be if you deliberately put the data you want to work on the spinny drive for safekeeping and then move it back and forth. It really comes down to what you're doing. If it's just word editing, it wouldn't make a difference.
And by the way, your advice about backing up is really good. When my system went down, I hadn't backed up in a while, and a good friend of mine is electronics smart and a tinker, and we were able to get the spinning drive to come back to life, and I was able to transfer things to a backup disk. But
nice.
That advice that you give is very good.
Sadly, we see too much failure here, so you know, it's just part of our life. Backing up is the primary thing we do first for any brand new client. We focus on their backup of their servers, their workstations, their data, really. It's key to their operation. So,
Have you ever put a spinning drive in the freezer for a little while and brought it out and had it rejuvenate momentarily?
Yep.
Yes.
We have, and it's worked, and we didn't believe it. That's probably a 15-year-old trick. But yep, because it messes. Because as it's heating, it expands slightly, and then something fails. And then sometimes when you cool it, you can actually shrink it, and it gets back into alignment in some way, mechanically, and it can come back online. We've also had to just tap it. You know, you would literally use a back of a screwdriver to try to tap the drive while it's trying to spin up, and sometimes it works too.
That was the scientific approach we used.
Yeah,
we took it from a vertical position to horizontal. Tapped it, tightened the screws that were on the that secure the motherboard, and it came back to life.
Congratulations, you got lucky.
Okay, thank you for your help.
No, our pleasure, Nick. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
All right, we're coming up against the hard break here at the bottom of the hour. Feel free to get online, guys. We have four lines open for you. We're here till 11 o'clock, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We are live over at WTIC's Facebook page. You can follow us there as well. And everything we've talked about is posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And it's hopefully going to get out to Facebook as well. And if Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it'll get into your news feed. And of course, you can follow us on Twitter at TabComputerSys. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We got four lines wide open. We're here till 11 o'clock. It's a dreary, rainy day out there, so a good time to cuddle up with your computer. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. If you're all listening to us over at radio.com anywhere in the country, feel free to give us a ring, and WTIC will pick up the tab. That's kind of a neat thing, too. Radio.com is that app is an amazing tool, and you can rewind right there, live radio, and of course the podcasts are out there over at WTIC as well, over at radio.com. So if you missed a show, you're welcome to follow it that way. So Bob, you wanted to bring up some news as we wait for our callers. We have four lines wide open, guys. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC.
Yeah, we're going to have to start talking about our kids pretty soon.
No, we never have had to do that. We always threaten it.
Okay. I got an article here from CNET/Roadshow.
Yep.
The Toyota Land Cruiser inspires Japan's upcoming moon rover.
Really?
Okay. So you got to go to the website and click on this link because it's the coolest thing you ever saw.
Yeah.
The tires are actually made out of steel. They're actually wire. And it's really cool. So anyway, it's called the Lunar Cruiser as a direct link to one of Toyota's longest running models known for its durability.
Yep.
Toyota and the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency plan to reach the moon with a manned rover before the end of the decade, with the automaker's fuel cell tech on board. Toyota decided to draw a link between space and Earth with the rover's official name, JAXA, J-A-X-A, and Toyota on Friday announced the manned vehicle will be named the Lunar Cruiser.
Mm-hmm.
The name directly recalls the Toyota Land Cruiser, which first entered production in 1951. In the announcement, the automaker said it based the decision on the quality, durability, and reliability the Land Cruiser provided in the past and still offers.
Mm-hmm.
The characteristics are especially crucial as Toyota and JAXA continue development. The Lunar Cruiser needs to keep astronauts safe as it roams the moon's surface.
Yeah, how are they getting there, though? Do they have their own rocket?
Well, actually, Japan does have a space agency, but it works in conjunction with, NASA.
But NASA doesn't even have their own rocket.
No, because they're calling on Elon Musk and others.
So is this all going to end up being something right down there with Elon?
In Russia, actually.
Yeah. Right, Russia tried to hack them, yeah.
Well, you know. We got to give all our secrets to Russia so that they'll run their space program for us.
I don't think so. Not anymore. That's a pretty neat little
You got to see it. It's very future looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so. can they deposit it on the moon is the biggest question.
Well, I don't think there's a problem with that.
No?
No, because Elon Musk is going to be having his, something on the moon. They're going to get something on the moon within the next year or two, I think. Probably three, maybe. But
all right.
I think they're going to put... Actually, the next one, they're going to have women on the moon.
That's awesome.
You know? So
no more men on the moon. I like that. Women on the moon.
Yeah, it's going to be... I think it's going to be a crew of just women.
Even better.
Yeah. I've been doing a little reading on it, but I'm not 100% sure, but...
Good for them. That's
we'll
awesome.
We'll find out. I'll try to dig while we're
I know
while we're waiting for calls.
Yeah, feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Oh, there you guys are. We knew you were here because we're here in the hermetically sealed studio in East Hartford, and Matt is back there in Farmington. So he's got to then update a tool that we have here so we can see what's coming on the phone lines here. And so we got Phil in Simsbury up next. What's going on, Phil?
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
All right. I've got a connectivity issue here.
All right.
I've got Xfinity service for TV, landline phone, and internet.
All right.
All right. I went out and bought a Motorola MT7711 to replace Xfinity's modem.
Okay.
Okay, because that's a one-time purchase.
Nice.
And I went and got... Roku's for my TVs.
Sure.
But I've got Verizon as far as my cell phone plan.
Yeah.
All right. Now, with the Motorola, I've spoken to Motorola and I've spoken to Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
But with Motorola, they said I've got a 600-foot radius for my modem.
For the wireless piece?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for internet and so on.
Yep.
And once I get out of that area... then I lose connectivity for any of my applications on my cell phone to the internet.
Yeah, 600 feet is a long radius.
That's right. Big. But I mean, I have a small business and I have to be connected. Okay.
Yep.
So I called Comcast and they said, well, the only way you can do that is look for a hotspot. Now, I may be in areas that don't have a hotspot. Okay. So I don't know how to get into the internet, you know, through Comcast, through Xfinity.
Okay, so all right. So what you're trying, you've got your own modem at your office that has a 600-foot radius.
Right.
And the moment you leave that, you're on your cellular plan.
Right. However, I can't get into the internet.
So you must on your cell phone?
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with Comcast. It has to do with Verizon. If you're using a Verizon cell phone,
Your
plan with them is your problem. So, yes, you'd have to get into a hotspot if you do not have cellular data as part of your service. But I suspect you do. What are you paying for your smartphone?
I'm paying like $65 a month.
Yeah, yeah. So you basically have to – you're yelling at the wrong folks. Comcast has nothing to do with your cell phone once you leave. It's all now on the Verizon system. You don't need a hotspot for that. Unless you want to have free Wi-Fi, like a hotspot would be like, you know, McDonald's, right? You go to McDonald's, you go in there, there, and now you have a free hotspot. But you just need to get your Verizon service improved. Now, if where you are within Simsbury is a dead zone,
no, I'm not in a dead zone where I am right in Simsbury.
Okay, it's when you're at other
places. I go to Avon, I go to the rural areas of Avon or Canton. And then I can't get into any of my applications that I have to get into, via my cell phone.
Correct. So their cell service in those areas is not very good. There's nothing Comcast can do about it, unless you can get on a Comcast hotspot, right? So Comcast offers public internet service through their customers. So if you happen to be in a Comcast area, you could log in your cell phone to that over the Wi-Fi signal.
Uh-huh.
That's just using your Comcast credentials. Do you know how to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. So without anything else, it's either change your cellular service to a company that has better coverage in the areas you work, or you know, you just have to deal with it the way that most people do when they can't get service for their cell phone.
Yeah, right. Well, okay. We'll investigate that.
Yeah. Sorry about that, Phil.
You know, I appreciate your input.
Our pleasure.
All right, you have a great day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to go next to, who are we going here? Let's go to Litchfield and Paul. What's Paul got cooking out there? Hey, Paul.
Good morning.
Morning.
Got a new computer.
All right.
Old one. And I have all this stuff sitting on my desktop.
Yeah.
I got the bright idea to put it all into a external drive.
Sure.
And then all I was going to do is transfer from the external drive to the new computer.
Sounds like a good plan.
No, all I get are links.
Oh, so you're not actually moving the files. You're just moving shortcuts.
That's what it did. Yeah. I've got the files on the hard drive. So my question obviously is, how do I get the files off the hard drive onto the new computer and not have links where I have to keep the hard drive constantly installed?
Right.
You have to look at the properties of your links to find out what the location of the files are. Then you got to go to that file. You got to navigate to that file and copy those files.
So the link is a desktop link.
See, so you got like a shortcut to a file on your desktop. All it is a pointer. So when you click on it, it goes to that that file that's in a folder somewhere else.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, what I have to do is go back to the old laptop and copy each
file. You have to go find where the file actually is.
You click on your shortcut and you choose properties.
Right click on it.
Right click. Right. And then you choose properties. And then in the properties, it'll tell you what the location of that file is, actual file. Then usually there's a little button in there that'll say open file location. Click on that. And you should find some of your files in there, unless they're all in different locations.
So it'll be like C:// my documents/ you know, tax files / whatever you've created, wherever you put them in your file drawers there, gotcha. You have to go find it specifically. You just can't copy the link. Does that make sense?
All right. Yeah, it does. Now, bear with me.
Yeah.
Just opened up one of the links.
Yeah,
I'm
right click.
Go to a file in the link.
Yeah.
And I'm going to click on the link or right click on the
right click. Right click and go to properties of the link. And it'll tell you where that file is located. It should give you the whole syntax.
Let's see. Come on. Here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Property. Blah, blah, blah. So I look under details.
Sure. It should give you the actual file location.
So down near the bottom of it, there should be a little button that says open file location.
Are you running Windows 10 or Windows 7?
Running Windows 10.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so I right-click on the...
on the properties.
...file I want to open.
Yeah.
I hit properties.
Yeah.
And it brings up this screen that says general security details, previous versions.
Right.
You don't have a tab that says shortcut?
Are you talking about... I do have a tab that says... Well, shortcuts is sitting on my desktop.
Yeah. Right, I understand. But when you right-click... So I just open one up and it says... you know, it's I got the properties open. And then there's a general tab. And right next to the general tab, there's a shortcut tab.
Ah, you know what? I was in too deep. I went into it and opened up an actual, you know, like
A
document that I wanted to read. But okay, so I right-click on the correspondent on the shortcut on my desktop.
Yeah,
that brings up shortcut properties.
Yeah,
and
getting warmer.
Open file location.
Let's see.
You're getting there, Paul.
Yeah, so is Christmas. All right.
But you're going to see the whole URL described. The whole location is going to say C:// and then it's going to give you where that file is. Or like Bob says, you can go ahead and open the location as to where it is. And it'll actually bring up the actual file's location on your computer. Because it does have a spot. You've placed it somewhere.
Right.
Do you see that?
No, I am not seeing it.
You see it says start in. If you click on that shortcut tab, it'll say start in.
Let's see. Click on the shortcut tab.
Within the right click.
So you have the properties windows open, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So...
and I'm saying a general shortcut security details previous versions.
Click on shortcut.
Shortcut.
Okay, click on shortcut there. And at the bottom says open file location.
That's what you want to click on right there.
Say Eureka. I really say amen, take your hands off the radio. Okay, so tell me who that's from.
I have no idea.
You're old enough to know. He just passed away not too long ago.
Help me, help me.
Don Imus.
Oh, Don, yeah. I did listen to Don every now and again.
Yeah. Reverend Billy Saul Harkins in the First Church of the Gooey Death and Discount House of Worship in Del Rio, Texas. Okay, so...
so you found that now? You found the where you're opening up your file?
Yep, I did.
All right, so okay, every one of those files has a spot.
Gotcha. Alrighty, thank you very much.
All right, Paul, good luck, sir.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
If not, I'll be back.
All right, well, we're here every Saturday. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break before Matt gets... I can hear him yelling from Farmington. I got to take a break. So we're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. We're here till 11 o'clock. Everything's been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And we're going to go to Jack in Torrington next. What's going on, Jack?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Looks morning,
like
sir.
Microsoft has done it again.
What'd they do to you?
Well, you know, we used to have that pin to start, and you had the nice little tiles you could choose your whatever you wanted to go to real easy.
Yeah.
Well, the pin to start is gone.
Hmm. What version of Windows 10 are you running?
I honestly don't know.
So in the lower left-hand corner, type in, you're going to see a little area to type. You can type in WinVer, W-I-N-V-E-R. Because I still do have that pin to start, I think. Do you still have it, Bob?
Oh, yes.
So I don't know what version we're running versus the one you've upgraded to.
Okay. Version 1909.
That's what I have.
Yeah, you can still pin to start. What you talking about?
Well, you go to a website. Now, I'm on Microsoft Edge when I do this.
Oh, okay. You're trying to pin to start a bookmark?
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it brings up the tiles when you hit the little Windows button on your keyboard.
Sure.
And it brings up all these tiles, which is great. I have, you know, segmented by interest, et cetera. And when you go to do that, you got those three little dots at the top of your screen when you're on that particular website.
Yeah.
You click on that little dot, come down, it says More Tools, and you go over to the right. And it says Save Page As, Cast Media, Pin to Taskbar, Launch Taskbar Pinning Wizard, Browse Task Manager, and Developer Tools.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I don't have those. I don't have that Pin to Start option, and I don't use Pin to Start the way you are as a browser link. But you're doing it within Edge, and you're saying it is broken. That Pin to Start doesn't work.
It's not there. It doesn't exist.
Oh, they removed it on you.
Yep.
Gotcha. I don't even have it. Do you have it, Bob?
Well, I have Pin to Taskbar and Launch Taskbar Printing Wizard.
Right, but you don't have Pin to Start, which it used to be there. And then it would say, do you want a Pin to Start? You'd say yes, and it would come right up on those nice little tiles when you hit your Windows button.
Right.
Yeah, so they could have decided that they don't want you to have that anymore.
You know, Microsoft giveth and Microsoft taketh away.
Yeah. It's really crazy. Yeah, I mean, not enough people used it or had some other problem with it. You're right. I don't mean it's not there.
Maybe put a link on your website if you find something.
Yeah. Yeah, we can take a look to see if there's an issue. This is using Edge, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. We'll see if we can find a way to get around that or see if there's a link out there for you, sir. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye.
You're welcome. You too. We'll do our best for him later and get that out there as a link. We want to thank all you guys for joining us on this rainy Saturday morning. I want to thank Mike for posting everything live over at computertalkwithtab.com. I want to thank Matt for running the show out there in Farmington. And all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Do your best to stay safe and healthy. And what will we do, Bob?
See you next week.
All right. We'll be back.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.